From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Byam Theater in the heart of Pittsburgh's cultural district, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Man, it's good to be here. Thank you so much, Pittsburgh. Great to be with you. We are so excited today to have as our special guest Pennsylvania's Governor, Democrat Ed Rendell. We are eager to talk to him about the life of a modern governor of a large, complex northeastern state. The pressures, the tension, how people like him manage to relax. Exactly how would a governor get away from his security detail in an antique but upscale hotel? But all that's coming up. First, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Sarah from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Hey, how are things in New Orleans these days, Sarah?
Good. They're getting better.
They're getting better, are they really?
Yeah, except for the occasional large hole in the streets that appear because they have utility workers digging up everywhere.
But you people have music and laughter and food. You can get around holes.
Or we just drive through them because, you know, what's a car? It's going to flood anyway.
Exactly. What an attitude. Well, welcome to our show, Sarah. Let me introduce you to our panel today. First, say hello to a humorist and author and the man to blame for everything you will find at Baudette.com, Mr. Tom Baudette.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Tom.
Next, say hello to the woman I like to call a reliable sorceress, Ms. Roxanne Roberts of The Washington Post.
Hey, Roxanne.
Hi, Sarah.
Finally, it's a TV personality, the proprietor of the website Morocco180.com, and as we have learned, the man who will be the entertainment at next month's Congressional Radio and TV Correspondents' Dinner, Mr. Morocco.
Hello. Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, we're going to start this week with a round of Carl Castle's Countdown. That's where Carl presses shuffle on his iPod and through some alchemical magic. All three songs that come up seem to be inspired by stories in the week's news. Your job, guess those stories 2 times out of 3. You'll win our prize. Ready to play?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Carl, what's first in the playlist?
Well, Peter, for some reason this week, I just could not get this tune out of my head.
The minute you walked in, see you were a man of distinction, a real spender.
So, who, as it turns out, was a really big spender, ended up paying an even higher price than just $4,000 an hour.
Why, could that be Elliot Spitzer?
Let me check. Yes, it is. Whoa. Governor Spitzer was a rising star in Democratic politics, a moralizing crusader.
A rising star?
A rising star. You see, that's the problem with Governor Spitzer. You talk about him, everything seems dirty. He was a moralizing crusader against lawbreakers. He was destined for national fame. And then he made a key mistake. He was born a man. So much has been said, but one of the enduring questions remaining, why did Spitzer pay so much for his evening's entertainment, more than $4,000? Well, public service, we got our hands on Mr. Spitzer's itemized receipt. I have it here. It's $1,000 for standard services, $500 for her to say to him, quote, "Oh, Governor, you're so much better than George Pataki." Another $500 for her not to laugh when he said, "And now I'd like you to say hello to the Lieutenant Governor." And
I thought this was NPR.
And the last $1,000 was just as per usual to say as she was leaving, "Just so you know, I charge everybody else $10,000.
Typical overspending liberal.
Yeah, I know.
I think it says, you know, less about his morality than it does his negotiating skills.
This is one of those stories in which it was actually challenging for people like us to come up with made-up stuff that's better than the real stuff. For example, A lot of people were replaying this. One of Spitzer's campaign slogans from his 2006 gubernatorial campaign, quote, "He'll bring passion back to Albany."
Peter, yes. His, within hours of the news breaking, his senior yearbook from Horace Mann School in the Bronx, graduating class of 1977, went up on Craigslist. And there's a picture of the soon-to-be, then, you know, young aspiring politician in jeans and a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
And there was a passage from Hamlet, and then his senior quote was, "The problem with bad political jokes is that some of them get elected."
But this is actually a good political joke.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What else were people singing this week, Carl?
Now, Peter, here's a song that was sung by two people who are still out there trading punches.
"Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can."
"Oh, you can."
"Yes, I can. Yes, I can."
So what two people are still out there after what seems like 40 years in the desert trading barbs over who would be better for their party and country?
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Exactly right, yes. It goes on. Obama won Mississippi, but still the math shows that neither of them can win this outright, so they're both trying to convince the superdelegates to go to their side at the inevitable convention. Clinton argues that she should be the nominee because her history and experience, her judgment, skill, and ethics are so well known. Obama argues, on the other hand, that he should be the nominee because Clinton's history, experience, judgment, and ethics are so well known. Other campaign stories this week. Geraldine Ferraro, after, you know, had to leave the Clinton campaign after a big kerfuffle in which she continually insisted that the only reason Barack Obama was doing so well was that he was black. Everybody knows that's a huge advantage in seeking national office in this country. And total legitimate charge. And, of course, it came from a person who was put on a national ticket back in 1984, not because of her gender, no, but simply because she would really help Walter Mondale lock down the vote of loudmouthed fools from Queens. Carl, give us something cheerful to finish us up with, won't you?
Okay, Peter. How about some drinking advice from the greatest harmonizers of the 1960s, the Beach Boys?
"Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad."
Now, what did we find out this past week that was in our water supply that may make you decide not to go near your water?
Prescription drugs.
Exactly right. Very good. Pharmaceuticals in the water. It turns out that the drugs we Americans take, the aspirins, the birth control pills, the Prozac, the teeming fistfuls of Viagra, well, they all pass through our bodies into the water supply, right by the sewage treatment plants and back to the taps. A study found traces of pharmaceutical drugs in the water supply of 40 million Americans, which explains why none of us are having babies or getting depressed, and why Bob Dole is so often seen guzzling water out of a garden hose. Experts say we could scrub the water for these drugs, get rid of them, but that means we'd have to go back to paying for them, which in turn would mean that Elliot Spitzer won't have enough money left to go out this weekend.
Could it be that Spitzer was drinking Cialis water?
It could be. That would be a novel defense, and I look forward to him trying it. Carl, how did Sarah do in our quiz?
Sarah was perfect. Peter, 3 correct answers. Sarah, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done, Sarah.
Hey.
Right now, panel, time, as always, for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, Hillary Clinton, as you know, has been bragging about her extensive foreign policy experience, including her stint as First Lady. But her claims to have gone under fire in the international arena were put in doubt this week by whom?
Well, is that a hint?
Not yet.
The only person that seems to be sabotaging her campaign is her husband. So.
No, he actually has been.
Oh, this is a great one.
He's been very quiet recently, I think, for that reason.
Okay.
We think that this trip to Bosnia back in the 90s was his 7th voyage.
To to Bosnia? I'm missing all of this.
Seventh voyage. Sinbad.
Sinbad?
Yes, it's Sinbad.
Sinbad the comic?
Sinbad the comedian. Tom gets it. Tom gets the point. It was Sinbad, not the sailor of legend, but the comedian from the 1990s.
And he said this when?
Well, he said this just this week. What happened was in 1996, he accompanied Mrs. Clinton along with the singer Sheryl Crow on a goodwill trip to Bosnia. Now, the senator has said that that trip was dangerous, very tense. It was a trip into a war zone during which her plane was actually shot at. Sinbad now says, this is ridiculous. Quote, I think the only red phone moment was, do we eat here or at the next place? Unquote. Further, as Sinbad himself points out, the idea that it was a dangerous or even important trip is belied by the fact that she took Sinbad with her. I quote him again, quote, what kind of president would say, hey, man, I can't go because I might get shot, so I'm going to send my wife. Oh, and take a guitar player and a comedian with you. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Parrish Knight in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Parrish Knight?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very cool name. That name sounds like a superhero or spy or TV hero. Parrish Knight.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me that I should be a DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Or a crime-fighting priest, I think.
You sound like a fun night in the capital of France after one, if you follow me. Parrish Knight?
Parrish.
Well, welcome to our show, Parrish. Now, you're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Parrish's topic?
Peter, so help me. Someday, I'll be the first man ever to perform the vagina monologue.
America has always loved the dreamers, the people who strive, no matter what the odds against them. So do we. This week, we heard a story of somebody pursuing their dream in the face of seemingly impossible odds against them. Only one of these stories is true. Choose that real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine.
All righty.
First, let's hear from Mr. Tom Baudet.
Every little boy wants to grow up to be a fireman, and Nathaniel King got his wish. As a member of the Saratoga Springs, New York Fire Department, King had his dream job. That is, until the fire department required he take paramedic training, which included using hypodermic needles on other people, which caused firefighter King to repeatedly faint like an overheated old lady in church. After trying to help him overcome his needle aversion, including a suggestion to try hypnotism, which only made him sleepy, the fire chief was forced to fire the fainting firefighter. Easier said than done. King is now suing the department to get his job back and to recover lost wages.
A guy who's going to be a paramedic firefighter despite the fact he faints at the sight of needles. Your next story of a CareerBuilder.com disaster come to life comes from Roxanne Roberts.
Jolly Roger McPherson spent 4 happy years as a clown in Aussie Al's Circus, a small troupe based in Melbourne. That all changed last fall when the company was purchased by an Indonesian billionaire and avid clown buff, Santosa Malambi. Malambi insisted all 11 clowns enter the ring in a tiny clown car, which became a big problem for Jolly, who turns out to be clinically claustrophobic. After 3 panic attacks and 2 stress-related rashes, Jolly asked if he could just walk into the ring. Not funny, said his new boss, who did offer to pay for Xanax and a meditation coach. Jolly told the Sydney Morning Herald he is not giving up. Quote, my mission in life is being a clown. I'm not going to let a silly car drive me out. He did negotiate 1 concession in the auto act. He's last clown in, first clown out.
A claustrophobic clown in Australia. Your last story of a poor match of job to applicant comes from Moraka.
Marcy Brennan grew up watching planes take off from Houston's Hobby Airport. In 2003, a dream came true when she was hired by the TSA to work security at Hobby. The only problem, a rare sebaceous condition known informally as Spider Woman's disease. Under stress, Marcy's palms emit a sticky gel, 140 times the consistency of human sweat. Patting down a passenger becomes messy, to say the least. As stress levels increase at peak hours, Marcy's manual emissions thicken even more, and the wearing of gloves becomes completely impractical. Passenger Mike D'Andrea was not happy. Quote, "It's bad enough that I had to take off my shoes, but then to have this woman's goo all over me. Disgusting." At least one passenger didn't mind Marcy's viscous secretions. Squealed 60-year-old Jamie Rinaldi, "It was just like getting slimed."
So then, one of these three people is determined to keep their job no matter what the obstacle. Is it from Tom Baudet, a firefighter who's going to be a paramedic even if he faints at the sight of needles? From Roxanne Roberts, a clown is going to be a clown even if he can't stand getting in that little car? Or from Mo Rocca, a woman is going to be a TSA agent even though her hands are all kinds of sticky? Which of these is the real story of a striver, a dreamer, in the week's news?
Wow, one of those is actually true?
Yes, indeed.
I don't have a clue, but I guess I'm going to have to go with the firefighter.
The firefighter.
The least improbable.
All right, you're going to go for the firefighter story from Tom Baudet. Well, we spoke to somebody who's very knowledgeable and sensitive about these kind of difficult issues.
A firefighter who is afraid of needles is very much like a 3 or 4 year old in my office. And so I would say to him, you know, of course this needle is going to hurt a little bit, and when it does, just scream your head off.
That was renowned pediatrician Dr. T. Barry Brazelton. One of the most random kind of findings of an expert ever. He's the author of the book Touch Points and a professor at Harvard Medical School explaining how he would help a firefighter or a paramedic overcome such a fear of needles. Congratulations, Parrish. You got it right. Well done.
Hey, thank you.
Parrish, thank you so much for playing. You have won our prize. You have earned a point for Tom. You're a great guy.
Thank you, Parrish.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
And now the game where we ask accomplished people things that are, frankly, beneath them. We call it Not My Job. Ed Rendell is in his second term as governor of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He came to that office after his very successful 2 terms as mayor of Philadelphia. He has traveled to Pittsburgh from the capital of Harrisburg. We are honored to have him with us here. Governor Rendell, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, thank you. You know, I was backstage listening to the first part of the show, and it occurred to me that my timing's not very good, being a governor making his debut on the show this week.
Well, I think that depends on your perspective. Our position is your timing is exquisite.
I know.
Because we wanted to turn to an expert. I mean, on governor. I mean, maybe you, by virtue of being a governor and a successful politician here in the American Northeast, can have some insight into the big question that everybody has been asking. What in the world was that man thinking?
Well, the answer that you gave is he wasn't thinking.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Clearly not.
You actually said something interesting. You said that he'd be the last person you could imagine doing something like this. I think you said out of the 50 governors, he'd be 50th.
No.
Well, no.
I said... Because we do have 10 women governors.
All right. I was gonna say.
We have 10 women. Yeah. So I qualified it. Right. I said, eliminating the women governors, he'd be 40th.
He'd be 40th. Okay. So he's 40th. Governor Schwarzenegger, of course, number one. But I guess the interesting question is, where would you put yourself on the list? Because there was an implication there.
Well, in terms of, you know, the style of a person, I'd put myself in the middle of the
Really? Because yeah. you're known, in fact, for not exactly playing by the rules. Of,
right. I'm not a conventional, certainly not sanctimonious, right?
Yeah.
Even if you don't like me out there, you'll admit I'm not sanctimonious.
So, Governor, one of the big things happening here in Pennsylvania is the presidential primary schedule for April. You guys have become maybe the final battleground for this presidential nomination. That must be pretty exciting.
It's both amazing and exciting. And to show you how smart I was, I asked the legislature to move the primary up.
Yeah. But no, they were smarter than you. They kept it back. So You are, however, not only the governor of the state, but you're a close friend of the Clintons. You're an outspoken supporter of Senator Clinton. Now that you've got this leverage, though, with the state being so important, do you think you can extract any promises from the candidates? I mean, could you throw your support? Like somebody passes, like somebody is president, they do an executive order, Tom Brady has to go play for the Eagles. For example, you could probably extract that. Things are getting pretty tense.
Yeah, but I'll say this. You know, a lot of people in our party are doomsday advocates. They're saying this is going to kill us.
Yeah, there is that concern.
We're going to be at each other's throats. I don't think so at all. I think poor Senator McCain can't get anybody to notice him for love or money. You know, and all the focus is on our candidates. And look, we have two terrific candidates. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And I think they're both capable. They're both people who I think can win the fall election. I just think Hillary Clinton's got the better ideas for meeting our challenges, both here in the state and other places.
But you think even, it's all settled come the summer, and one of the two, you think that the other person's supporters are going to forget everything. There's been a lot of bad blood. And say, oh, no problem, great, I'm for you now. I'm going to swap my sign. And
I was down at Florida giving a speech to the Broward County delegates 10 days ago, and I asked people who was for Barack Obama, and they cheered. Who's for Hillary Clinton? They cheered. And I said, okay, I've got a message for you. One of you two groups is going to lose. And the group that loses, I'm giving you 10 days to pout, to be angry, to be disappointed. And then you got to get over it because the stakes for this country are too high come November. Right. And I think that's a message. Right.
Could you end up as the vice president?
No.
No?
That's where all
you're
the power is.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Because your name...
No. Yeah. I could not wind up as a vice president for one simple reason.
Why not?
I have this uncommon trait in my business is you ask me a question and I tell you the truth, or at least what I think the truth is. So if someone said, all right, you're running for your vice president, what did you think of the presidential candidate's energy policy release today? I'd say, well, fair.
You
know.
You could just turn off your mic at that moment.
No, I wouldn't be. I've been very lucky in politics. I got elected district attorney of Philadelphia at the age of 31, and I've been my own boss ever since. And I think I'm probably too old to start taking orders.
Really? Yeah. So, I mean, it's actually kind of interesting. We may even have made some news because your name is often mentioned as a potential vice president.
Not by anybody saying, no.
No.
But fortunately, this is the Democratic Party, yeah. And we have a lot of insane voters.
That's true. the insane is an important constituency to the Democrat.
It's the swing vote. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Governor Rendell, it is great to have you with us. We have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Whatever they honored her for, it sure wasn't anything to do with Shanghai Surprise.
This week, as I'm sure you know, Madonna Louise Ciccone was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nobody could argue with that. Lover or hater, the most significant pop star of the last 25 years. But as an actress, well, suffice to say that Madonna did her best work in films that were 4 minutes long or less. We're going to ask you three questions about Madonna's film career. Get two right, you'll win our prize.
Awesome.
For one of our listeners. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who was our guest playing for?
Peter, the governor is playing for Sister Rita Yiska.
Oh, wow.
From Pennsylvania.
Of where?
Pittsburgh.
All right. Well, can I ask a question?
You may, Governor.
To be a... award winner,
yeah, contest
winner. Do you have to listen to the show?
We don't ask much of our
sister.
But we ask that.
Sister, I'm really sorry. And I think we all are, right?
We'll help.
Yeah.
We'll help.
All right.
Here we go. Here is your first question. Madonna's infamous movie Body of Evidence, in which she played a woman suspected of murdering a man via sex, had a disclaimer on the trailer for the film and advertisements. What did that disclaimer say? Was it A, that the movie had absolutely nothing to do with the novel Body of Evidence by Patricia Cornwell, placed there because Ms. Cornwell insisted on it? B, that the viewers should not attempt the sexual techniques seen in the movie without the star's, quote, special training? Or C, that the director and the writer did not approve of many of the lines Madonna says, but she insisted?
Well, we want the sister to win, so A.
You're going to go for A. Ms. Cornwell insisted that it had nothing to do with her movie. You're right.
There you go.
Cornwell was upset that people might think that she had anything to do with that, so she had the disclaimer put
on. She's also very litigious. So.
Is she really?
Yes,
didn't
she is. Yes, lawsuits and everywhere.
We may get to it, but that was not Madonna's worst movie.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Uh-oh.
I actually saw her worst movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, is this actually part of your job?
I didn't pay for it. I
you
saw
know,
it on late.
You know, they spent a lot of night in hotel
Oh, wait
rooms.
A minute. I'm sorry. This is going to be the headline out of this week's show. Governor Rendell, quote, "I didn't pay for it," unquote.
I watched it on cable.
We watched it. Oh, don't say that, man. This is not the week cable. To say that. All right. Here we go. That was very impressive. These two more questions to go. You say you've seen her movie, so we expect good things from you.
Not all.
Did you see this one? Did you see her Damon Runyon-inspired movie, Bloodhounds of Broadway?
No.
Didn't see that one. All right. When that movie came out in the 80s, the filmmakers knew that the movie was in trouble very early on in its theatrical release. When what happened? Was it A, the movie was shown in theaters on its opening weekend with a reel missing and no one noticed? B, the projectionist at one theater quit rather than have to watch it more than once? Or C, nobody other than Madonna and the movie's publicists came to the opening night party?
I think it has to be A.
It has to be A, that the reel was missing?
Yeah.
You're exactly right. This is impressive.
We still haven't gone to her worst movie yet.
No, I think we're getting there. At least I hope we're getting there. Anyway, but I will tell you that according to Andrew Morton, who wrote Madonna's unauthorized biography, a reel was missing for 2 weeks of the movie's New York run, and nobody noticed. All right, we have arrived at last at Swept Away.
That's it.
Is that the movie? That's the movie.
Far the worst.
All right, be that as it may, the question of now, of course, concerns Madonna's ill-fated remake that she made with her husband, the once-talented Guy Ritchie. He directed it. The reviews of Swept Away were not kind. What did the New York Times' A.O. Scott say about the movie? Did he say, A, swept away, schlepped away is more like it? Did he say, B, everything went downhill after the animated trailer encouraging us to visit the snack bar? Or did he say, C, this is the greatest cinematic sacrifice a man has made for his wife since Charlton Heston jumped into the hole to save Ava Gardner at the end of Earthquake?
I love that scene.
I think B.
You think B. You're going to go for everything went downhill after the animated trailer encouraging us to visit the snack bar. No, actually, he said swept away, schlepped away is more like it. Carl, how did Governor Ed Rendell do in our quiz?
Governor Rendell had 2 correct answers, Peter. Enough to win for Sister Rita Yiska.
Right. There you go. Yeah,
can I ask Sister to do something?
Hang on a second. Go ahead, sir.
Since I just won for her, can I ask her to do one little thing? Sister, could you send me an email, care of Ann Shriver at state.pa.us, and tell me how in God's name you listen to this?
I got 2 words for you, Governor. 2,000 rosaries.
Not enough.
Edward Rendell is the governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Governor Rendell, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure. Right now, though, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, a new book highlights a study that shows people can be happy and prosperous adults even if their parents give them what?
A disease?
No.
If they give them,
this is something parents give children at the very beginning of their lives.
Oh, and that and would seem to militate against happiness.
In some cases, yes.
Okay. Is it like a circumcision?
No.
It's got to be something. Something that you think of as bad. Well, there's all this stuff, and it's not going to be vaccines. It's too serious.
Or I'll give you a hint. I shouldn't give you a hint. Okay.
Well, no. Give me a hint, but don't give it away.
Okay. All right. So you want a hint, but not much of a hint.
Right.
Okay.
Just give me a hand. Right.
It turns out that Johnny Cash's friend Sue turned out all right.
The gender opposite name.
Well, weird names to begin with.
Weird names.
Strange names.
Okay.
Names. Yeah. Turns out everybody's thought that there's been studies to show that if you have an odd name, you won't do it as well in life. But the New York Times says that the authors of the book Bad Baby Names have interviewed many adults who survived grade school despite being christened Candy Store or Merry Christmas, real names that in the past would have been seen as one-way tickets to misery throughout life, or if they were lucky, maybe work as a five-diamond escort at the Emperor's Club. But best case scenario, though. But even George Empty, Hysteria Johnson, King Arthur, and Candy Store, plus a variety of Imas, such as I'm a hog, I'm a pig, I'm a muskrat, I'm a nut, and I'm a hooker. They all turned out to be normal, well-adjusted people. Co-author Michael Sherrod said, quote, they were very proud of their names, almost overly proud. Although I'm a hooker did go by Kristen. They did get... He goes on, they did get a little tired of hearing the same jokes, but they liked having an unusual name because it made them stand out, unquote. Or at least so said one of the subjects of their study, Ms. Ima Deluden Myself of Passaic, New Jersey.
Now, some birth names are tough to deal with, which is why you get a nickname like Mo. Yeah.
Roxanne, a doctor in Springfield, Oregon, says the upcoming men's college basketball tournament is the perfect time for men finally go ahead and do what?
All right. I know I read this. I think it's a vasectomy.
You're right. It is a vasectomy. Okay. But then again, you always think it's a vasectomy. So listen up, men. You know how...
Was that a guess?
No. I read this.
That would be frightening. That was
freaky,
just a random guess. Now, you know, guys, that you want to enjoy every single minute of every single game of March Madness, but your boss is not going to let you stay home and watch basketball all day. So, here's what you do. You go get a vasectomy. Boom, instant sick day. Two of them. Oh, sorry, guys, can't make the 2 o'clock meeting. I got to heal up. You sit around the house. Gingerly, but you sit around the house. Of course, some men might be saying, sounds good. Sounds interesting. But what if later on in my life I would like to have children? Well, if you're dumb enough to get a vasectomy just so you can stay home and watch a basketball game, perhaps it would be best for all of us if you did not reproduce.
They could schedule a vasectomy reversal and do the same thing.
You think so?
You could do it every other year.
It's great. Is it the biennial vasectomy?
Right. Okay. I think at some point you run out of vas, but...
Yeah.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can send an email to waitwait@npr.org. You can also go to our website at waitwait.npr.org, where you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago. You can also pick up your Wait Wait tchotchkes at the online NPR shop. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Kevin Lippert.
Kevin Lippert, hi. Where are you calling from, Kevin?
New York, New York.
Exciting times in New York, New York.
We did our best to write your whole show for you this week.
And we're pretty grateful. Well, Kevin, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Carl Castle is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on 2 of these limericks, you will be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
Okay.
My hack, hack, piao, hack sounds quite plucky, but its rhythm is subtle and funky. It tells simians, no, there's a foe there, don't go. It's the syntax that's used by a...
monkey.
Yes, monkey. This... And I don't need to tell you about this. You're from New York. It has happened to us all. You're out in the town for the night with a putty-nosed monkey. And the monkey turns to you and says, you know, hack, hack, piao, hack, hack. And you're like, okay, what do? Do I just nod and smile?
Yeah.
Well, thanks to a study published in this week's Current Biology, we now know that your monkey friend was saying, I am adult male X. I have just seen an eagle. I will now move away. That's what it means. That's what they said. Scientists have determined that when male putty-nosed monkeys made calls with lots of cows in them, it tended to indicate a leopard was around, and that lots of hacks meant eagles, for example. The scientists pieced together calls to test their theory. Voila, they were communicating with the monkeys. And they found out that calls with a mix of piaos and hacks meant we throw our own feces around and we're still classier than Elliot Spitzer. Like you said, our entire show. All right. Very good, Kevin. Here's your next limerick.
It's an ad for the whole human race. Come and check Earth out. It's a nice place. Our promotional clip is sent on a great trip. It's the first ad that's beamed into
space.
Right.
If we ever make contact with other intelligent life forms in the universe, their first question to us might be, why did you send us a 30-second ad for these things you call Doritos? Or at least that's the thinking behind Doritos' new You Make It, We Play It competition in Britain. Scientists from the University of Leicester and something called ICECAT, which is the European Incoherent Scatter Scientific Association. That's not a judgment. It's a scientific term. They've teamed with the makers of Doritos. They will beam the winning advertisement from the ICECAT Space Center to a solar system in the Great Bear constellation 42 light years away. We can only hope that anyone out there who may be watching to this ad responds and brings us the advanced technology we will need to finally get that orange cheesy powder off our fingers.
What is the shelf life of a bag of Doritos?
I think it
42
could,
light years?
I think it could last the entire journey.
Yeah, yeah. This is kind of like Coke going into China in the 70s. You know?
It really is.
When do we hit them with Cheetos?
We're keeping that in reserve in case they invade to placate their hunger. All right. Here, sir, is your last limerick.
I've been meeting this guy on the sly, but when judges ask, I just deny. The court saved my honor. I would be a goner. But they said that women can...
cry?
Well, they can do that, but that's not what they've been given the right to do.
Lie.
Very good. It's official, ladies, in Italy. If you're having an affair and someone calls you on it, you now have the legal right to lie like a rug. This week, the highest appellate court in Italy ruled in favor of a woman who lied to the police about her extramarital affair because, you know, what are you going to do? Confess? You're going to lie, you know, to protect your honor. In unrelated news, Bill Clinton and Elliot Spitzer have both applied for Italian citizenship. Carl, how did Kevin do on our quiz?
Kevin had 3 correct answers, Peter, so Kevin, you're a winner.
Great. Very
Thank
good,
you.
Sir.
Now I'm excited.
Now you're excited.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Tom Baudet has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Roxanne Roberts and Mo Rocker are tied for second. Each has 2.
Well, we have flipped a coin to break the tie, and Mo has decided to go second. So, Roxanne, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. When he takes the oath of office on Monday, David Paterson will become only the 4th blank governor in U.S. history.
African-American.
Right. Although scientists recommended more stringent rules, the EPA this week did tighten standards for blank pollution.
Emissions, car.
Yeah, air pollution, very good. A Pentagon study released this week confirms that there was no direct link between Saddam Hussein's Iraq and blank.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. Having served over 8 years in prison for assisted suicides, blank is planning to run for Congress in Michigan.
Dr. Death, Jack Kevorkian.
In fact, in Sri Lanka, security forces were called out to a village where historic local elections were being held up by blank.
Elephants.
Yes, a herd of elephants. Very good. Michael Jackson was able to work out a financial arrangement that will keep blank from going to public auction.
Neverland.
Right. The producers of the sitcom How I Met Your Mother announced that blank would make a guest appearance as a doctor's receptionist.
Britney Spears.
Right. An elderly couple in Australia returned home from a spur-of-the-moment vacation to find blank.
A press conference that they were missing and presumed dead.
My God, you're good.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Geez, who's in the lead now?
Roy and Heather Ostel got home from an impromptu beach trip to find police searching their property for evidence, and one seriously ticked off daughter, Angela Ostel, the daughter, screamed, "Where have you been?" And she stomped off. She led the embarrassed vacationers to face the press on their own. Heather Ostel, the mother, said, quote, "We haven't had the radio on. I mean, we've just been bumming down to the beach, having a wonderful time." She apologized for not calling her daughter earlier, but she said, quote, "Would you believe we forgot the charger. Carl, how did Roxanne do?
8 correct answers.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
8 correct answers for 16 more points. Roxanne now has 18, and I must say, a commanding lead.
I got to say, Roxanne, goodness. There's only one way to describe that. That was a 5-diamond performance.
Yes, indeed.
That was amazing.
This is why I like being on with Roxanne, because it takes the whole pressure off
really
the winning
does.
Thing. You know?
All right. Mo, you're up next.
Oh, geez.
See if you can fill in the blanks. Here we go.
I don't know if I'm worth $4,300.
Telling CBS, quote, I disagree with what the majority of the American people want. Blank said if elected president, he will not pull out of Iraq.
John McCain.
Right. More than 500 Buddhist monks marched this week to protest China's rule over blank.
Tibet.
Right. Abraham Lincoln got a makeover on Thursday as the Federal Reserve began shipping newly designed blanks to banks nationwide.
$5 bills.
Right. Admiral William Fallon retired after an Esquire article said he had fought with the White House over potential military action against blank.
Iran.
Right. An Ohio State study repudiating the effects of aromatherapy might not gain any traction just because one of the researchers is named blank.
Mr. Skunk?
No. One of the authors of the study is Dr. William Malarkey. In order to let him play with the team on his 60th birthday, the New York Yankees signed blank to a one-day contract.
Is it Reggie Jackson?
No, it was Billy Crystal, the comedian.
Oh, no. All right, darn it.
As a Red Sox fan, I say, start him. Yeah. Warner Brothers announced that its film adaptation of the final blank book will be in 2 parts.
Oh, is it the Harry Potter
it
book?
It is. Yeah, yeah. A Grand Island, Nebraska man trying to dispose of his gun before police caught him by throwing it in a lake was foiled because blank.
Because a salmon with fingers shot it.
No. Because the lake was frozen.
Very good.
Police are hot on his trail. Alejandro Renteria knew we had to get rid of his gun, so he rushed over to Pier Park Lake. He tossed his gun into the water where it would be lost forever. Or it would have been if it wasn't the middle of winter and the lake wasn't completely iced over. So instead it bounced. Police had some trouble stifling their giggles, but no trouble at all retrieving the gun, which was just kind of lying there 20 feet away. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Well, Mo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 12 points, but Rox has the lead still with 18.
Wait a minute. If I show you a good time, do I get a couple of extra points?
All right.
Well, I'd like to just apologize to my family for this public embarrassment and resign so ahead of my life.
How many, then, does Tom need to actually win this thing?
7 correct answers to tie, 8 to win outright.
All right, then. Here we are. This is for the game, Tom. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson proposed new rules aimed at reducing the excesses that led to the blank crisis.
The mortgage crisis.
Right. For the first time in 25 years, the House will go into closed session to debate the blank surveillance bill.
The U.S. Wireless Act.
Yeah, well, or as the Republicans like to call it, the terrorist surveillance bill. According to a study released this week, 1 in 4 teenage girls in the U.S. has contracted a blank.
An STD.
Right. Florida Democrats have proposed holding a second blank on June 3rd.
The primary.
Right. In Nevada, a man tried to keep police at bay by saying he would commit suicide by blanking.
I don't know, jumping off the Boulder Dam.
No, by taking this here entire bottle of Viagra. So don't come any closer. For the second year in a row, Lance Mackey and his dog team won the blank in Alaska.
Yeah, I did run.
Right, because the planes had missed inspections, blank airlines grounded nearly 40 jets this week.
Southwest.
Right. An Australian man was arrested after he traveled 6 days and almost 2,000 miles in a blank.
He was arrested for this.
He was arrested for this. He should not have done it.
6 days and 2,000 miles in a golf cart.
No, in a car that he was test driving. A 30-year-old man comes into the Honda dealership, asks to take an Accord for a test drive. The car dealer didn't expect that it would end 2,000 miles away. In Tennant Creek, Australia. Sort of the equivalent of taking a test drive from London to Istanbul. Police say this is the longest test drive ever. It topped a 300-mile test drive in 2006. They said a car purchase is a big deal, though, and some drivers need that extra 2,000 miles to be sure they're making the right choice. So, Carl, how did Tom do? Did he do well enough to win?
Tom needed at least 7 to tie, but Tom had just 6 correct answers. So with 18 points, Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Well done. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, what's Elliot Spitzer going to do now? That he no longer has the burdens or distractions of high office. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring, catalog at 1-800-FLOORING. The Annenberg Foundation, advancing public well-being through improved communication on the web at annenbergfoundation.org. And the Wallace Foundation, supporting ideas, sharing solutions, expanding opportunities on the web at wallacefoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer, Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our intern is Joanna Feldman. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Our technical director is Robert Newhouse. Other engineers include Bill Deputy, Lorna White, and the crew at the Byam Theater in Pittsburgh, PA. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is directed by Melody Kramer, produced by Mike Danforth and Emily Ecton. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Rod Abid. Now, panel, what is next for former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer? Roxanne Roberts.
He'll apologize to history buffs whose ancestors came over on the real Mayflower.
Tom Baudet.
He'll abandon his prosecutorial instincts and become expert in defense lawyering.
And Mo Rocca.
He will lie low until 2010 and then run for governor of Pennsylvania.
Well, if Elliot Spitzer does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Tom Baudet, Roxanne Robertson, Mo Rocca. Thanks to Paul Organisak and Darcy Kushnick of the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. Thanks to our audience here at the Byam Theater in Pittsburgh. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.